Welcome to The Sunday Soother, a podcast, newsletter, and community about authentic living and compassionate personal development. I'm your host, Katherine Andrews, a life coach, online teacher, and writer focused on self-reflection, mindfulness, and how to create meaning in our everyday lives in practical ways. Join me weekly for conversations about personal growth, spirituality, self-discovery, and self-care, and how we can navigate this messy world with hope and humanity. Hey everybody, it's Katherine Andrews and welcome back to The Sunday Soother. I have a quick hit based on sort of like what I'm thinking is a parable, but is really an anecdote from Stranger Things' most recent season. So definitely spoilers for Stranger Things. If you haven't watched Stranger Things ever, I'll explain background so you don't need to know exactly what I'm talking about to get the point of it. But it's a metaphor, a story that I've been using a lot for myself and my clients around shame, self-worth, and I think it might land for some of you all too. So before I dive into that, if you're listening to this on Sunday, September 18th, tonight is my How to Heal the Inner Critic workshop, and you are invited to that. Link in the show notes, $25 at 8 p.m. Eastern, with a replay provided if you can't attend live. And it's sort of, it's hard to explain exactly how this workshop unfolds. It's part ceremony, part ritual, part somatic inquiry, part journaling prompts, part magic for sure. And it does the work of getting you in touch with the part of yourself that believes you have something to be ashamed about. And that's where the inner critic comes from, as well as a very young part, an inner child as well. Kind of relates to what I'm going to talk about with Stranger Things coming up too. So just this belief that part of us is bad, part of us is wrong. And that's what the inner critic is, really. So I'd love to see you at the workshop tonight. It's a beautiful, nourishing way to spend your Sunday in community with other like-minded folks who are doing this work as well. You don't have to be on camera. You don't have to participate like in the chat room. Most people will share some stuff in the chat room, and there's a beautiful community that happens in a text-based way in the chat room, but it's really just me teaching and walking you through this process. So I'd love to see you there. Also, make sure you get on the waitlist for Soothe, my year-long mastermind for highly sensitive women, because that is going to be opening soon. I'm going to be inviting you to book discovery calls about Soothe to see if it's right for you. Soothe will open in January. I have retooled the curriculum from this past year based on what I've learned from this past incredible year with the incredible woman who took Soothe. And I've tweaked a few things. The bulk is staying the same, but we are going to start off with a January workshop on goal setting and creating your goals and a little bit of manifestation and magic. And from there, we're going to go into mindset, nervous system work, inner child healing, reflecting on our relationship with our parents who may have had their own struggles that affected us. And we're going to go through the year and do everything from shadow work to archetype work to learning about codependency and how to break the chains of codependency. You can read all about the curriculum over at the link in the show notes. And for this year, I'm going to actually offer two options for Soothe. One is where at a lower cost point, you can enroll in Soothe and work with the material and with the small groups. And then one at a higher price point where you get all the material and you're in a small group and you're also working with me one-on-one. So that option is available to hopefully make it a little bit more financially accessible to a few more people. Like I've said before, you can be any age. You can be international. I have a variety of small group times to accommodate an international audience. In this past cohort, we had somebody from India, we had somebody from the Netherlands, we had folks from all over the United States. So there's no worries about the time. And I would love to have you get on a call with me from the wait list just to explore it a little bit more. The calls are no pressure. It's not like I make you book on the call or even make you decide on the call. We talk for about an hour about where you are in your life and why Soothe might or might not be a fit for you. And then we part ways. So get on that wait list also because there's going to be a $2,500 discount off the cost of Soothe available only to people on the wait list. And I wouldn't want you to miss that. And I've mentioned my New Year's retreat before, and the link for that will also be in the show notes. That's December 30th, and it goes for about 2.5 days. I'm getting really excited for it. I'm planning a cacao ceremony. We're planning a secret nature magic hike. We're planning the dance party. no substances, no alcohol. So it'll be like a really nourishing way to bring in the new year. There's equal time, sort of like active participation and connection with the other women who will be there. And reflection and silent time and being on your own. And the retreat center we're staying at in Maryland also has time. You can book massage, or I think you can even book Reiki. And so those are available to you too. Again, your age doesn't matter. I'd love to see folks of all ages there. It is for people who identify as women. And for folks who are looking to start off their 2023 in a more intentional and grounded way. And I think it'll be beautiful. Okay. So what is on my mind about Stranger Things, and how am I going to bring Stranger Things into the Sunday Soother world? So first off, Stranger Things is an incredible show. I definitely have a kink for a particular kind of show. These are some of my favorite shows I've ever seen. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Veronica Mars, The OA, RIP, and Stranger Things. And the theme of them is obviously there's a supernatural bent in most of them. Veronica Mars does not have a supernatural bent, but it's got a very noir detective dark side, shadow side bent. Usually there is a blondish woman who is at the center of the story, shocker. And there's a community of people who are coming together to fight shadowy and evil things and sort of save the world. And so Stranger Things falls directly into this category. It is about a group of kids who are fighting against sort of a big evil, an alternate dimension that contains a multitude of, big bads, as Buffy would say, like bad characters that are trying to basically take over their world. And the main character is this kid, Elle, this little girl. I mean, she ends up being like a teenager throughout the course of the series, and she has supernatural powers. But it doesn't really matter, the details of it. So you don't have to have watched Stranger Things to kind of understand the metaphor that I'm about to share. It is helpful because you'll know the scenes I'm talking about and you'll relate to the power of it. But if you haven't watched season 5 of Stranger Things, spoiler alerts abound. So you may want to turn off this podcast and come back to it when you have finished that season. So in Stranger Things, the community and this group of kids are really dealing from, so much trauma over the past few years. And in particular, the trauma of last season when this like giant, horrible spider creature like took over a mall and tried to kill everybody. And it was awful. And there was one character in particular, Max, who is this young girl who had been in the group of friends. She's got this beautiful red hair. She's in that Taylor Swift video, if you know what I'm talking about. All Too Well, the song, in case you don't know what I'm talking about. And in that horrible mall scene with the giant spider, her stepbrother is killed and she watches it happen. And her stepbrother's a dick. He's a bad person. He's been abusive and cruel towards her. But still, she sees him basically pierced to death, and it's horrible and traumatic for her. And in season 5, we're really seeing her start to deal, not start to deal, but like in the midst of the trauma of that event. It's clear she has disconnected from her group of friends. She's avoiding them. She's broken up with her boyfriend who is in the group of friends. She just walks around like a ghost all the time, just listening to music and not connecting with anybody, and really just kind of shut down in her trauma, in her guilt, and in her shame. Right? Because as is revealed later on in the season, she kind of has a shadowy belief that maybe she wanted her stepbrother to die. Maybe part of her did want that or crave that. He had been so abusive and awful to her. And she's really reckoning with the shame about being a person who maybe partially desired that. And then, of course, all the trauma that happened with watching what she did and what she had to deal with. So in season 5, the entire cast is dealing with the big evil of the season, which is this dude named Vecna. So Vecna basically lives in an alternate dimension that is accessible to these kids via a variety of means. And he's killing kids from the town. He's kind of dragging them to his underworld lair with shame and trauma and flashbacks, and he's invading their bodies, and it's pretty gross, snapping their bones, doing all this gross stuff and killing them. And he's got his eyes set on a few kids, and it turns out that he has his eyes set on Max as one of the kids that ultimately he wants to lure into his, basically kind of his lair, his underworld, and also sacrifice her. And they find this out, and, Max is pretty freaked out, understandably. And so she's going through this process of realizing, like, within like 24 to 48 hours, Vecna may come for her. And you just don't know exactly when or how it's going to look. And it's just, it's really tense. And ultimately, there is this one episode, and those of you who've watched Stranger Things will know what I'm talking about, where she kind of is like, okay, this is going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. We're trying our best to figure out how to solve this, like how to save me, how to fight this guy. But, you know, I have no control over this. And so she's writing letters to people, and she's writing letters to her friends and to her ex-boyfriend. And she goes to a graveyard and she writes a letter to her stepbrother, Billy, who's buried there. And so she's reading the letter out loud. And it's this incredibly moving thing where she admits these dark fears and these thoughts and her pain. And it's in that moment that Vecna kind of gets a hold of her psyche. And you guys may have seen, if you haven't watched Stranger Things, you may have seen like the image of a girl kind of like possessed floating in air in a graveyard. And that's this scene. And so Vecna possesses her, and in her psyche, she's brought to his underworld. And he's just creepy as hell. You know, there's no getting around it. He's gross. He's awful. He's got these long fingers. He's like living in this like bloody underworld. And he's taunting Max, and he's got her pinned up against the wall. And she, in this moment, simultaneously, her friends are starting to figure out that music can save people from this trance that Vecna puts people in. And so they're struggling to find her, her Walkman and put the cassette tape in. Her favorite song is the Kate Bush song, you know, Running Up the Hill, that you've heard everywhere kind of explode after Stranger Things. And so they're trying to like flip to the cassette. So you're like going back and forth between her friends who are in the cemetery with her freaking out because she's floating up in the air possessed, and they're trying to, or she's about to be floating up in the air possessed, and they're trying to get this headset on her so they can play the song and figure out what's going on, and save her and break her from this trance. And then you're flashing back to Max and Vecna talking, and Vecna's taunting her and telling her she's so bad. You know, she wanted her brother to die. Her friends don't love her. She doesn't deserve any of that friendship or love, you know, and they didn't want her. And so he's all these like really horrible, seductive things. It's so tense. I mean, oh my God, this has got to be like one of my favorite episodes of television ever. Cause you just really don't know which way it's going to go. You know, she's a main character in the cast and important to the story, but of course, lots of people get killed in, you know, television shows that are fiction, but in my head are not fiction. And I'm like crying and sobbing. And so like, I'm just like, I'm watching this with AJ and we're like, holy shit. Oh my God, what's going to happen? And you're flipping back and forth. And so the point, and trust me, I'm getting to the point here about what this actually has to do with self-worth and shame. Her friends get the headphones on her and they start blasting the Kate Bush song. And so Max, flashing to her underworld where she's pinned up against the wall with Vecna, who's about to kill her, her eyes kind of like flick open and she starts to see a portal of light over his shoulder where the music is playing and she sees her friends screaming at her to wake up. And this makes me so emotional. And I've explained it to a few clients a few times too. So if you've heard me use this metaphor, you know that it does make me emotional. And she also starts to flash to these moments in the past where she and her friends were laughing and playing and having a good time. And she was feeling a part of the group and she was connected and she was kissing her boyfriend for the first time. And they were at like a middle school dance. And it's just like these little gem moments of a life where she's like, she had friends who cared about her. And she always had these friends, but it was just in the trauma of the death of her stepbrother that she had withdrawn from them and believed that she didn't deserve them. So these memories start flashing in her mind's eye and we're watching them too. And she's seeing the portal of light, the song and her friends screaming at her in the cemetery open up over Vecna's shoulder. And you can see, I mean, the actress Sadie Sink does such a good job in that moment. She goes for it. She kind of like punches Vecna somehow. he drops her and she's running. She is running towards that portal and she's in this horrible, like awful, bloody, gross underworld red dawn landscape. And she's like slipping in blood and things are falling down around her. And the Kate Bush song is playing and it's just like, oh my God. But she is like, she's going for it. You know, you can see this switch in her where she's like, I want to live. You know, I want to go to the light where my friends are. And, you know, she makes it in that moment. They are able to break her of the trance. And she's with her friends in the cemetery and they're crying and hugging her. And she goes, I'm still here. And so before I totally break down emotionally, the reason that I love this scene so much and it made me think so much about shame and self-worth is those of us who are struggling with shame or isolation or unworthiness were the Max in that situation, and Vecna is our shame and our past trauma and any conditioning that tells us that we are bad. And Vecna is so powerful and so seductive. You learn through all these backstories, you know, he's this incredibly powerful, you know, entity and being, the most powerful that they've encountered, you know, really just like the biggest, baddest, big bad of all. And he's killed these other kids, and he is so convincing about how like shitty you are, right? And how bad your trauma was, and how you probably don't deserve to live, and how probably part of you wanted your stepbrother to be killed, and maybe part of you doesn't even want to be with your friends, and maybe even part of you doesn't want to be here on Earth, right? And when you listen to the dialogue between him and Max and the whole storyline, the metaphor I really want to say is that that is our shame story. And Vecna is our shame story. And our work is to be the Max. And we kind of have to like fucking fight for our lives. And whether it's literally or in the stories in our head about our shame and our self-worth. And I say this to help you give a name to the low self-worth and shame that I know plagues so many of us, the idea or concept that we're unworthy or undeserving, or that parts of us are bad or that we're broken. That's Vecna. That's just Vecna. And, you know, Vecna's real, but he's also not real. He's not the truth. The truth is that Max's friends have always cared about her. They've been trying to reach out to her. The truth is that she loves her friends, that she wants to connect to them. The truth is that she's deserving of friendship. She's deserving of light and music and being back out in the, you know, out from the upside down, the sort of underworld dimension, and being in the sunshine with her friends. And she also has to fight for it. And it's a struggle. And she has to scrape her way out of Vecna's grasp and decide to make her way towards that truth. And that's the work that many of us are going to have to do day after day, month after month, year after year. Shame and low self-worth, the conditioning around it is so insidious in our society that it can just feel like second nature to us. And then you add on top of it that many of us have lots of trauma, emotional trauma, being raised under capitalism is trauma, you know, bullying, things that anywhere that can range from little t trauma to big t trauma. Trauma causes shame, because what happens is that a traumatic moment happens, and when we're a kid, it floods us and we can't give any context to it other than we're bad and we must have caused it, right? Even though we are beautiful little children and we never did anything wrong. So that's just a story I want to offer you today to kind of help you differentiate between that shame voice. It's not true. That shame voice is Vecna. And you are going to have to do the work. You are going to have to do the work of putting on your music and dancing and running and, you know, forcing yourself to run towards the light day after day. And sometimes it's just like, whatever, Vecna, take the wheel, take me, you know? And there is that sense of being subsumed by the shame, and it can be really difficult. But it's worth it to fight, and it's worth it, like Max did, to go back to all of those positive memories, to remember that there are people who love you and care for you, to remember that you are a divine child of the universe, that there is nothing wrong with you, and that there nothing was ever wrong with you. And to label that voice who tries to tell you otherwise as Vecna, as evil, as something you're going to have to fight against. And as Max does, you know, with the support of her friends and their creativity and their determination and their warmth, in that moment, she does escape Vecna. And it's a beautiful thing. It's one of the most powerful episodes of TV I think I've ever seen, in a way, because that's immediately what it made me think of, was this metaphor. So Vecna is shame, and it's your job to be Max and run the hell away from it. So I hope that this metaphor made sense, that it gave you a little spark of inspiration and hope in your fight against any shame or low self-worth stories that you're struggling with. And just know I am utterly convinced of your goodness and your deservingness. And I know you may not be, but you can get there day by day. So take those tiny little steps towards believing you're worthy, those tiny little steps towards believing your inherent goodness, those tiny little steps of escaping Vecna and the shame story day by day. And let's do it together. I'm rooting for you. That's it for this week's Sunday Soother. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you have a moment, go on over to iTunes and leave me a 5-star review. That's how other people find this podcast and the message of hope and compassionate personal growth I'm hoping to spread to many more people just like you. You can find me on Instagram at Katherine Andrews and find out more about The Sunday Soother at thesundaysoother.com. You can also check out my services, courses, and coaching at katherinedandrews.com. Have a great day ahead.